This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we're going to be giving away tickets today, so you better call in, and we've got a couple of pair of basketball tickets to give to you for the game coming up on Sunday between Michigan State and Tennessee and Texas Houston. And also we've got a pair of football tickets for the last home game of Michigan State that's coming up on Saturday. So we'll give the tickets away for the basketball games and for football today. So once again, give us a call at area code 517-884-4870. 517-884-4870 for your chance to win basketball or football tickets. Either one. We'll be giving those away later on today. Yeah, Michigan State's playing Texas Southern on Sunday in basketball. So if you want a chance to win those tickets to the Texas Southern game, just call us up once again, 884-4870, 517. Right now, we're going to talk. We've had an interesting turn of events in NASCAR. Brad Keselowski now is in the driver's seat. He's got a chance to win the cup. He's got, Jimmy Johnson's going to have to catch him. It's interesting how things changed in a week's time. So let's bring in our good friend Terry Fitzwater and talk about the upcoming, the chase for the cup. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Earl. And yourself today?
Hey, doing pretty good. Still a little bit surprised at the turn of events after that last week's race and Brad Keselowski. Now, do you think, if he's out front, say, near the end, do you think he's going to be cutting or trying to cut players, or will he just try to win and just let the chips fall where they may?
Well, it's the nature of the driver. Brad Keselowski is going out not only to win the championship on Sunday, but he's going to go try and win the race. Now, depending on where the chips are falling during the race, he may take him a little more conservative approach. If he's in the top 10 and there's only 25 laps to go, yeah, he's going to want to preserve his place because Jimmy Johnson cannot pass him if Brad finishes 15th or better. So that'll be a factor. But going into the race, it's Brad's philosophy and just his nature. He's going out. He wants to go out and win the last race of the year.
Okay, so it should be interesting. A lot of people should be watching. Michigan's Brad Keselowski is going to be he's in great position. How did that all turn out? I mean, explain to us what happened in that last week, Terry.
Well, I don't know what happened. I've watched it over and over. We talk about it. Only in the wild, wild west will you have a race like Phoenix, which is going to probably rank in the pantheon of auto races as one of the great weekends for spectating in the history of auto racing. Here we go into last week. Jimmy Johnson, five-time champion. Everybody expects him to dominate that race. He'd been trying to get into Brad Keselowski's head ever since the chase started when Brad won a couple races early. He was trying to intimidate him. The history was on Johnson's side. He had won at Phoenix. He had qualified well there. Brad had not. Brad had only one top five finish and his starting positions going into last week where that he was always in the, in 20th or worse. So going in, and we talked about this a week ago, on paper, it looks like going into Phoenix, Jimmy Johnson's got a stranglehold on the cup or a championship. Yeah. Brad had to do whatever he could to win. What we saw was, let's forget about the Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer fiasco. What we saw is Jimmy Johnson didn't quite have his car set up as well as Brad, who hadn't done well there before. Brad's out ahead of him in the pack, and there's only a point or two behind or a point or two ahead, depending on where they are during the race. Johnson starts trying to push his car too much, blows the flat coming out of the corner, hits the wall. He's pretty much toast for the day, finishes in 33rd, 32nd spot at the end. And he loses 27 points. He's now 20 behind Brad. So the kid, the cockiness, he didn't buckle under Jimmy Johnson's, intimidation factor. It was Jimmy Johnson who buckled under the stress of trying to win the championship. So that's number one, which made that race interesting. Number two, the end of the race, Clint Bowyer goes by Jeff Gordon, rubs his car, gives him a flat tire. Afterwards, Bowyer said, oh, I hardly touched him. Well, anyone who saw the race saw the smoke come out of Gordon's left rear tire. Gordon had had enough of Bowyer's antics all year long. Going back to Martinsville in the spring when Bowyer did the idiotic move to try and get underneath Gordon and Johnson, made it three wide in a track you can't even go two wide in, and crashes him. And there's other incidents. So Gordon figured, this is where I'm going to get my revenge. Actually slowed down to catch Bowyer coming around, runs him into the wall, takes Bowyer out of the championship race. And then afterwards, the great melee in the pits, in the garage area. Bowyer tries to get into Gordon's holler fight, and it was great. You know, brought back memories of when NASCAR really came to prominence, the 1975 Daytona 500 when Cal Yarborough and the Allison brothers got in. This melee brought all sorts of national attention back to NASCAR, the good old boys fighting it out in the garage area. And even though NASCAR said, we got to fine Gordon $100,000, we got to take points away, the buzz around the sport, and I think that's what auto racing has been historically. So from my point of view, yeah, that's how they take care of their own business. It was great to watch. It made great theater, great entertainment. After all, that's what sports is. So I just enjoyed the heck out of it, and everybody's talking about it and laughing at the good old boys are fighting in the pits, and that's how racing got popular in the 60s and 70s.
Yes, because nowadays we don't see that much fighting and such on the track. Most of the drivers are pretty friendly with each other. I mean, yeah, they all want to win, but they don't have much animosity among them, do they?
Well, they don't say so publicly. Oh, yeah, there's guys who can't stand each other out there and guys that don't respect other drivers. Gordon had always had a great reputation. He was a clean driver. He was a fair driver. But he was a great driver. So for him to do what he did, you knew he had to be mad. But, you know, you look at it, we've had this conversation over the years, Earl, where NASCAR was getting too prim and proper. You don't touch each other's car. There's no fighting. And they wanted everybody to be out of a cookie-cutter mold. They thought that was the way to increase awareness and people coming out buying their stuff. They wanted it to be this nice, clean sport. Well, they found out they were losing fans and they were losing TV ratings because it got to be such a cookie cutter that in the last couple of years they've changed the rules and kind of don't mind if the guys start rubbing a little bit and clean up after each other. Well, that's exactly what happened on last Sunday when Gordon took matters into his own hands and said, all right, Bowyer, I've had enough of what you've done to us all year. I'm taking you out. And he took him out of the championship race as well. He had an outside chance, albeit slight, but that day he cleaned up after the mess. And you noticed NASCAR didn't suspend Jeff Gordon like they did Kurt Busch or Kyle Busch a few years ago. $100,000 fine, which is just chump change to these guys that have been around that long. And 25 points. Well, that's not going to affect Gordon. He's going to finish 11th or 12th now in the final standings. But they didn't suspend him, which says NASCAR, they saw what they did. Hey, and you're on probation for the rest of the year. In other words, don't do it again in Homestead, which is just a slap on the wrist. And I think NASCAR, they realized because they got all the national publicity they wanted. People are still we're talking about it today. Yeah. We're still talking about what happened last week. And that makes us eager to see what could happen at Homestead, which is another intermediate track.
Yeah, that should be very interesting. You know,
because Bowyer said after the race, I don't know if I'm going to get him back. I go after him myself this week. He took me out. I'm going to take him up. That's the kind of old school, hey, we'll take care of, you know, we don't need somebody to supervise us and mold our image. We'll take care of ourselves in the action out on the track. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday at Homestead. Plus, we haven't even talked about, here's Brad Keselowski. He wins he doesn't win, but he takes the championship lead by 20 points, almost insurmountable. So what does he do after the race? He goes to the press conference and starts throwing F-bombs and S-bombs all over the place where drivers have been penalized points and suspended and fined for that in the past. So after seizing the lead, here's Brad. He goes in, and he almost throws it all away. He was lucky he wasn't fined and assessed some points for his performance at the press conference afterwards. Regardless of whether his point of view was right, he was lucky to get away with that, although they did fine him and nick him for tweeting again on his cell phone in the car, which he did at Daytona, and they told him not to do it again, but he did it again, and that cost him $20,000.
Wow, that's I wouldn't want to text her. It's going to cost me $25,000 in the car. I mean, I think he could wait a little bit till after the car, unless he needed, unless that's a way that he can get more excitement or create more excitement among the fans and tweeting to the fans. But I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah, you know, and it makes him more interesting as a driver now because, you know, as I've said, you look at the sport. They were taking away the personality of NASCAR when they started trying to clean things up and make everybody in one image. You've had Tony Stewart out there who's carved his own niche as who he is. You see Kevin Harvick doing the same. But now you got Brad Keselowski. He's a young gun coming in, and, you know, he could win the championship. Ironically, Dodge is getting out of the sport, and here in their last race, Brad Keselowski could win a championship for Dodge in their last race before they switch over to Ford. But what a poster child. A boy from the east side of the state of Michigan does well, learns from his father, and becomes a NASCAR champion. And I ran a poll on my Facebook page this week, and overwhelmingly the people in the Midwest are pulling for Brad to win this. They want a local boy to take home this championship, and it would be a real feather not only in Brad's hat, but also for the state of Michigan to show the type of driving and the caliber of race car drivers we have up here in the north.
Yes, it would, because the tracks are doing pretty well this year. So it would be nice if we had one to win. That would certainly help all the tracks and get them a lot more notice, wouldn't it?
It sure would. And last night on the Speed Channel, just to show the contradiction and how the drivers are, here's the Michigan's first chance to really come home with a NASCAR championship. You had Benny Parsons, the old taxi cab driver who carried the mantle for Michigan for years. And you always had the manufacturers. But now here's the first guy to win a championship in a long time. And then on the Speed Channel last night, you see a story about Tim Steele, who was an up-and-coming. He could have been a champion who got into became addicted to Oxycontin, and his career spiraled downward, now making a comeback in life. So it's interesting to see the dichotomy. Here's a driver from the east side of the state who's going to win a championship. It looks like a guy from the west side of the state who could have been a champion and is now turning his life around. It's just an interesting little dichotomy in how the sport works. But the show Michigan is producing some great talent at these local tracks from Auto City, Flat Rock, Berlin. You know, Michigan doesn't have to take a second or backseat to anybody as far as the quality of drivers that we're producing here.
Hey, now, has Danica Patrick, is she deciding whether to leave NASCAR? I thought I read something like that she might be considering leaving NASCAR right now.
Well, she might want to with the way she's done and the hit that she's taken to her image. No, she'll actually be running the Sprint Cup Series next year, driving for Tony Stewart. It's the last year of her contract with GoDaddy, and there was some speculation where she might go back to IndyCar and try to run the Indy 500, and she's said no and denied those rumors. But next year is going to be the most pivotal year in the career of Danica Patrick. If she doesn't perform next year, I don't expect to see her in Sprint Cup the following season, and then her career could be moving in different directions. She's still, you know, a very attractive lady, and she still has some cachet with the sponsors. So their people are going to be interested in keeping her around. But if she wants to become the first woman driver, to really be taken seriously on a year-to-year basis, she's got to start performing. There's got to be top tens, top fives. And so far, we haven't seen that. And if you go back to Phoenix last week, look at what happened at the end. In the last couple laps, Danica spins out. They should have thrown a caution, didn't it? She moves to the inside with her car smoking, and then everybody comes out of turn four. There's oil down on the track that she put down. Cars are slipping and sliding, a big crash at the end as the race finishes. And, you know, not her fault, but there again, here's Danica in the middle of another crash, and that's not the kind of publicity she's looking for.
Yes, well, Terry, as you know, I think we're all going to be in front of the tube this weekend. It should be an exciting race, and hopefully Brad Keselowski can get the win.
Yep, we're you know, I got to admit, you know, where I'm supposed to be kind of neutral in all this. Actually, Brad is a subscriber of the Midwest Race Heat Scene Earl. So if he's got, he's been shelling out $45 to read what we put in there, I got to root for one of my readers to win this championship. And
yeah, that's the way
I'm really hoping
be.
That Brad has, wins it because he is a good kid. He's raced at the tracks in Michigan. He's raced at Owosso, Dixie, Auto City, Flat Rock. You know, that's where his roots are. He came home this summer to, you know, tell everybody at Auto City and Flint that, you know, this is where he really wants to be. This is his home. This is why what's important to him. And to have that for Michigan to say that, you know, here's a local boy winning a national championship who still loves his roots, I think that says something about who we are as race fans and who we are as, you know, people that are just, you know, born and raised in the Midwest. So it's a good story all the way around. And to have Roger Penske, who, you know, from Detroit, Michigan, and all he's done for the city of Detroit and for auto racing, for Brad Keselowski, a Michigan boy, to bring Roger Penske his first NASCAR championship. Well, you know, there's so many storylines. It's just a great story, and I hope he can pull it off and that the racing gods allow that to happen, because it'd be great for all of us.
Okay. Hey, Terry, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, hey, we'll be getting together, talk a little bit more later on, especially if he wins the cup. There'll be a lot to celebrate.
All right. Well, let's do that, Earl. And if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, to you and your family and to all your listeners, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Same to you, Terry.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Now. And that's Terry Fitzwater talking auto racing with us right here on AM 870. The race for the Cup coming up this weekend, coming up Sunday. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, if you want a chance to win football tickets or basketball tickets, give us a call at 884-4870, 884-4870. Now, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
On some days, the violence in Syria is as bad as Iraq at its worst. On some days, more than 10,000 people flee across the border. Now, a new opposition coalition gets an immediate vote of confidence from France and maybe weapons as well. I'm Neil Conan. Syria's rebels, the refugees, and options for a re-elected President Obama. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast for today, partly sunny, the high will be 45 degrees, partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 20s. Sunny both Friday and Saturday, highs will be 48 and 49 degrees. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-952-7870. 877-952-7870. That's the number, our toll-free number. Or give us a call on the Sports Talk, or send us an email if you like, sportstalk@wkar.org. We might be having some phone problems, so we're going to check those out, seeing if we can straighten that out. We're having some phone problems right now, so we'll check that out. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And, you know, this is the big weekend in college football. And college football is, well, it's getting, they're scoring a lot more in college football. They're going to probably set a lot of scoring records this week. We've had some really tremendous games in there. You know, the teams that are built on defense, they usually go a long way. All you have to have is just a mediocre offense if the team is built on defense. You know, you don't have to win with offense or have somebody just running it away on the offensive end. You just got to do enough to get by, and that would help. So let's also talk about, we haven't talked about this guy in a long, long time, but let's talk about him, and then you can call in with your comments. Tim Tebow. It doesn't look like Tebow's going to get a chance to start. You know, many of his teammates don't want him to start. Now, if your own teammates who see him every day in practice don't want him to start, saying he's just not good enough, you know, that should make you think. I mean, his own teammates don't want him to start. He hasn't shown that he can be successful in practice. If you can't be successful in practice, how in the heck are you going to do it in the game? And that's the thing that Tebow's facing. They like him as a running back. He's a pretty good runner, but as far as being a quarterback, they say no way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they decide to give him a chance just because so many fans want to see him play quarterback. You know, a lot of people in the media thinks that he should be given a chance because he helped the team get to the playoffs last year when it was in Denver. So a lot of people are sort of thinking that Tim Tebow definitely deserves a chance to show what he can do. But a lot of players, the guys he plays with, just doesn't think that he's worthy, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, for the team in Denver who got brought in Peyton Manning, they're having a very good season, and Peyton has done a great job. And so, you know, you have to look at them and what John Elway has done for that team. A very good team, and it's a very good that's a very good story with John Elway getting it done out in Denver. Well, you know, coming up Saturday, there's a big fight coming up Saturday. Seth Mitchell will be in the ring facing Detroit's own Jonathan Banks on Saturday night. The program will be broadcast on HBO, so you can watch that. I know I'll be in front of the tube watching Seth cheering for him when he gets in the ring Saturday night. So it's a big fight for Seth Mitchell. It's another stepping stone, as we say. He's trying to fight what they're doing with him, and a lot of fighters do at this point. They try to give them a tougher fight. You don't want to get them in the championship, but you want them to face a tough opponent. And Jonathan Banks is definitely a tough opponent. He should be able to see it, and he might have to fight a few more rounds this time. We haven't seen him had to fight many rounds, but I think it might go a few more rounds. So Seth Mitchell will be in the ring Saturday night. So for all you boxing fans, check him out. Former Michigan State linebacker who turned boxing and is doing a very good job. 25-0-1. That's his record. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. The Detroit Pistons finally won a home game. I mean, not a home game, but a game. they beat Philadelphia the other night. So they congratulations to Detroit. And they finally got off the snide and got them a win, which is good for the Pistons. And now we'll have to see, can they do it again? Can they get another win? And how about the Bobcats? Already have won 4 games out of 7 this year. They're 4-3 right now. So they're far ahead of the pace that they had last year. When they only won 7 games the whole season, 7-59. Now, and right now, they're 4-3. Not too bad. So I expect they expect to do a lot more, in the coming weeks. But that's what they're doing. That's some of the things going on in the sports world. So if you want to talk about John Elway and what he's done in Denver with Peyton Manning, or if you want to talk about Tim Tebow and what he's trying to do in New York, and will they give him a shot? I mean, I don't know. Will they give, and more importantly, I guess, do you think Tim Tebow should get a shot? What's your opinion? Do you really think he should get a shot, or is there enough evidence out there that you would say, hey, he doesn't deserve a shot to start? He hasn't done anything. He hasn't proven anything this year. And So you have to think about that and dissect that for you. And what do you want to do? Do you think Tim Tebow should be given a shot? Would you like to look at college football? There's a lot of scoring going on. Oh, yes. I wanted to bring up one other story for you. That is, the Heisman Trophy balloting and voting will be coming up soon. So who do you think? Who do you think should win the Heisman Trophy? Now, I don't think I've ever told you my theory on the Heisman Trophy. I've always felt you can't go wrong with the Heisman. You can't. You're selecting 3 of the top or 4 of the top players in college football, 4 of the best players. So if you're going to factor in that that's one of the best players, so you can't go wrong. Even if they don't win, that's the thing. You're looking at it and finding out how you're going to bring in a top player, and they're all top players. That's all. That's why I always say it wants to, if you want to talk about that, it's nothing but talk top players in. So let's talk. Actually, right now we got Wayne from Williamston. Wayne, how you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. Well, I just wanted to talk deer hunting a little bit.
Okay.
I got a doe this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the seventh deer I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty exciting out there. I saw like four different kinds of woodpeckers, squirrels all over. And it was so enjoyable to be out there. And I just thought opening day deer season, you should talk about deer hunting.
Okay, yeah, that's good because I'm glad you called in because we probably wouldn't have talked about it if you hadn't called in. So that's good. You gave us a chance to talk about deer hunting, and like you said,
well, a little more too to that is I've seen no trace of any of that thing that's going
around
that
that disease
none. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful, too.
It is, because, you want healthy deer out there, and hopefully if you're out there and you bag one, you don't want to have a diseased animal. So that is very good, and hopefully it'll stay that way here.
Well, I encourage other deer hunters to call in.
Yeah, you can do that. Just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. So give us a call at either one.
Thanks,
Earl. Hey, thank you, too. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Wayne from Williamston. So, yes, I know there are a lot of deer hunters out there, so you can give us a call, talk a little bit about hunting, that's for sure. Hey, our listeners, call the regular, call the regular line for the giveaway tickets, or, is that line working now, the 884-4870, or is, what's going on there, Alex? Is that line working now? Okay, we'll go to the phone and talk to Victor in Lyons. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, you actually know my name.
Of course.
That's amazing. congratulations to that last gentleman in Williamston that got a deer this morning.
Yeah.
But people really don't have to worry about that that disease.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, deer died. What? It got bit by a fly, and as far as any deer that are out there, there was only a certain percentage of the deer killed by this. So it's really enough for people to be concerned about. People are making too much of it.
Okay.
And if you have any doubt, you can always check with people at the DNR, and they'll back it up. Because any deer you're going to kill, the deer that got affected by that particular fly, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that any live deer, you don't have to worry about.
Okay.
That's my understanding anyway. But if anybody has any questions, there's a lot of DNR people.
Yeah, call the DNR.
That could let them know if they have any doubts.
Just call the DNR if you have any doubts as well. So
what do you think about the fact that Detroit signed Torrey Hunter?
Yeah, I think it was a good move. Alex asked me about that today, and I think that's a pretty good move. I mean, the only problem is he's 37 years old, so if he had a good year last year, he hit 300 last year, struck out a little bit too much, but other than that, he had a good year, and I think that's a good signing.
Remember back earlier in his career, wasn't he a member of the Minnesota Twins at one time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when he was a member of the Twins, he would burn the Tigers, man, not only with his bat, but with his glove.
Yep, he had good speed as well.
I think it's I would have much rather shored up my infield, because I think Detroit has, like with Quentin Berry and Dirks, and they mm-hmm. have outfielders that would have been able to do the job. But I think Torrey Hunter is going to be a great addition.
Yeah, he is.
Not only because of his leadership abilities, and also he's going to be pretty. He's going to be pretty good with the bat, and he's not Delman Young out there in the outfield. So
right.
I think it's a good move, and I think it's going to benefit Detroit. But they really need to get more speed, and they need to do something about second base and shortstop and shore up the middle of our infield.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, it's early in free agency, so we just have to wait and see. Show a little patience, my friend. Yeah,
They won't let me play. That ain't fair.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they won't let me play basketball, so that's not fair for me either.
Because you're too short. You'd probably have to have a stepladder just to shoot.
Yeah, see, that's not fair either.
I mean, wait, I've never met you in person, but that's just what I've been told through the grapevine, you know?
Uh-huh. See, that's not fair either. They shouldn't discriminate against shorts people.
Go ahead. Tell me. Get off your phone, Earl.
No, I'm not going to tell you that. They shouldn't be discriminating against short people and people that are blind. They shouldn't discriminate against us.
They shouldn't be discriminating against blind people either. But,
right.
You know, So, you may not be able to play basketball, but I bet you could throw a mean bowling ball.
Yeah, I can throw it. I don't know if I can throw it down the lane and straight, but I can throw it.
You can throw it, right?
Yeah, I can throw it.
Oh, you have a wonderful day.
You
always
too.
A pleasure talking to you.
Hey, you too, Victor. Hey, thanks a lot. Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's our friend Victor from Lions Tyans talking with us. And Alex, we're trying to hopefully get some more callers in. So have you call the 355-9527 if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State's football game or basketball game this weekend. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. 877-877-9527-870. Call either line, and we'll get you. Hopefully, that'll make you eligible. Register for the tickets we'll give away at the end of today's show. So give us a call on any of those lines, and you have a chance to win tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. It should be a fascinating weekend. You know. Oh, yes, we'll tell you tomorrow when we have Drew Sharp and Jack Ebling on tomorrow and we make our picks. This Northwestern game is going to be interesting. Michigan State is strongly favored, of course, but Northwestern moves the ball, and they've been known to put points on the board. So we'll have to see how that plays out because Michigan State is still struggling offensively. They haven't had an offensive breakout game all year long. So this could be the perfect game for them to break out and score big time. So that's what we'll have to see. Is that the perfect storm? Will that be the big game for them, Michigan State, to score and put a lot of pressure on the opposing team? That's a good question. I don't know if they will, but it certainly will be the chance for them to do that. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, you know, we come your way with, it's going to be a big weekend with our not only college sports, we've got the high school playoffs coming up this weekend as we get close to going to the Silver Dome, and the teams will be going to the Silver Dome. Whoever wins this weekend, the next game will be at the Silver Dome. So that's it. That's a great pressure. Boy, if you lose this game, we were talking about this the other night. When you lose in the semis like this, and you're one game away, just think of it, one game away from playing at Ford Field in the state championship. So that's got to be pressure. That's got to be make a lot of guys nervous because you're only one game away from a state championship and playing for a state title. Boy, that's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. So, you know, we wish everybody the best of luck, going down to Ford Field. Best of luck this weekend if you're playing. I mean, and I've seen a few strange games, that's for sure. And let's see. Okay, we got another number to call that people can call in, 884-4783. 884-4783. That's the number to call if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State basketball or Michigan State football. 884-4783, area code 517. 884-4783. So we're working here, trying to get you some tickets here, right here on AM 870, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
For some, the crowds in the stores during the holidays provide cover for shoplifting. And whether that's an act of desperation, an illicit thrill, or a profession, retailers try everything from sophisticated surveillance to tagging turkeys to catch the criminals. I'm Neil Conan. What happens when you get busted for shoplifting? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. The high today, 45 degrees, and it'll be partly sunny. Tonight, our low, 28, and partly cloudy. Look for sunny skies both Friday and Saturday. Highs will be in the upper 40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want to win tickets, give us a call at 884-4783, 884-4783, for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State football or Michigan State basketball, 884-4783, area code 517. Well, Justin Verlander didn't win a second Cy Young. He was edged out by David Price, and Price, the Tampa Bay lefty, edged him out for the Cy Young Award. So Verlander finished second this year. He had a good year, but so did David Price. You know, that's like picking between a 1A and one number one and 1A. There's two good choices there. We're never debating which one is wrong or which one was worse or he wasn't that good. They're both two good pitchers who had very good years. So just take your hat off to those two. They were the two. They were at the top. And just like I was talking about with the Heisman Trophy, how can you go wrong? I mean, you're picking from Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you know, from A and B and C and all those top named teams, you know. So how can you go wrong when you're making a choice for the Heisman Trophy? Because everybody is really a good candidate. They have good stats. They're just very good players. I mean, you know, if you're considered in a top four or five player in the college football, you know, they're not going to put a chump up there. They're not going to, you know, just put somebody up there who hasn't gotten sacks or hasn't played good defense or hasn't ran the ball well or thrown the ball well. You're doing something exceptionally well to get some consideration for the Heisman Trophy. You have to be considered a very good player, and yes, and you will be looked on very highly, and you know, that's the thing. So, you know, that's congratulations to any of the Heisman Trophy candidates. You know, they're all going to whoever wins it, they're all going to be functioning well. So just, you know, just look at those Heisman Trophy candidates. You know, it makes me sometimes, being a Heisman voter, sometimes I have to look. Sometimes I just have to look, leave someone a good, you always do. You can only consider three or four. So you're always going to have to leave. There's so many good players in college football. So, you know, you're going to have to leave a good player off your ballot. You know, you can't choose them all. You can only choose three. So, you know, that's the only thing that's tough. Everybody will say, well, why didn't you choose him or why didn't you choose them? Say, hey, he was a good player, just like everybody else was a good player. You're just choosing from four good players. And, you know, so, you know, there's not a lot of separation. You know, they're all slight, but they're all good players. When you look at the Heisman Trophy voting, they're all good players. And so, you know, we'll have some, you know, maybe there's some part of aspect of their game. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe if it's a quarterback that isn't a good runner, so maybe you hold that against him. Or maybe he throws a couple of few too many interceptions, but he throws a lot of passes for touchdowns and stuff like that. So everyone has their own philosophy of why they think someone should win it, that's for sure. And of course, when you're voting in, as far as voting the different teams, when there are 25 teams, think about it, you got 25 teams you have to list in your poll if you're one of the poll voters. So the only chance is really when you start looking down at the bottom, who are you going to leave out? of those 25, those that are below the top 25, how many of those are really good teams? What kind of schedule did they play? You have to look at that. It's always, to me, it's always more difficult trying to figure out teams from 20 to 25. How they deserve, or do they really deserve to be in the top 25, or does someone else deserve to be in the top 25? You probably debate that among many teams, because there are a lot of good teams out there, and it's always a ton of good teams out there, in all honesty. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Once again, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Hey, Alex. So now, are you getting many calls over there for tickets now?
Yeah, we're starting to get some calls. The lines just got fixed, so you got to call on that number, that 4783 number.
Okay, that's 884-4783, 884-4783. Give us a call, and you can make yourself eligible for a chance to win tickets to the final home game of the year. Michigan State versus Northwestern. That's coming up Saturday. That's the final home game of the year. Or call us if you want to. We're giving away tickets to Michigan State's first home games in basketball. Other than the exhibition games, we're talking about real games. They're going to be playing Texas Southern on Sunday. We've got two pair of tickets to give away. So two people will win a pair of tickets, right, for Sunday's game. So once again, call us at 884-4783. Let us know whether you like the basketball or the football tickets. And, declare which ones you want. 884-4783. Area code 517. Call us up, and you can tell us what tickets you'd like to be eligible to win for. Hey, call us and talk sports with us right here on WKAR. Well, I'm just looking at Drew Sharp wrote a column, of course, about the new Texas outfielder who they just signed, Torrey Hunter, and it says Hunter an upgrade, but he's not a difference maker. And that's really hard to figure out who a difference maker is. I know a lot of people in the media will say that, but, it's baseball. And in baseball, you have nine guys who all play a separate position. And I don't know if one guy can make a difference. One guy can help a lot more, can be a major contributor. That's for sure. But can he make the difference? I mean, do you really think that Torrey Hunter can get them over the top? I would say he's a different piece of the puzzle. He can help them get going and do well. So that's very good for him. So he's a very good player, but could be the player. And that's the thing. I don't think you can say one player can get us over the top. One player is to make the difference. He'll get us to the World Series or even win the World Series. You can't do that with just one player. You need a lot of good players. You really do. And Detroit is stockpiling good players finally. And hopefully they'll have enough players, and that will help them get to the World Series this year. Well, let's talk with Dick out in Diamonddale. Dick, how you doing?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Okay. How you doing, buddy?
I've had a question for a long time, and I've never called anybody to ask. Mm-hmm. As far as the MVP and the Cy Young Award in baseball,
yes.
Why is it they always wait until after the World Series? Does that have any bearing on it? Like, Justin didn't have a good World Series. Does that have any bearing on the voting?
No. They, it's all done after the regular season. All the voting is done, whatever you do in the regular season.
Okay, I just wonder how come they wait so long to announce it.
Yeah, by the time they tabulate everything and get them together, and all the different voters, and a lot of the voters are watching the World Series, but that doesn't impact on their voting, unless they shouldn't be letting that impact on their voting if some of the players are in the World Series or trying to get in the World Series. So it's not supposed to. I mean, if they do it, that's not right, because it's strictly a regular season award.
Right. That's what I thought. But, it's always nagging, and I've always wondered if that might be the case.
Yeah. Well, nope. You don't have to worry. Hopefully, that no one's doing it. Surreptitiously. So hopefully, no one is keeping a de facto record in their head about some players and what they've done in the series. Because it should have no impact at all.
Okay, I just thought I'd call an expert to get a good answer. So thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, we'll talk to you. Bye bye. Yes, and yes, that's strictly a regular season award. So we'll talk with that. And matter of fact, we got the baseball girl over there, Alex, on the other side he's getting excited about baseball. But you know, I have to admit, Alex has done some pretty good job of picking some football games this year. So he's made some good strides. I don't know how much credit Drew or Jack would give him, but I'll give him a little credit, even though Drew and Jack, they might give him a little kidding. I don't know if how much credit they'll give him, but he's done a pretty good job of picking some of the games. So what are you going to do this week? You going to go with Northwestern, or are you going to go with Michigan State?
This week, Earl, you know, there was a close game last week against Michigan. I don't know if you caught the Michigan-Northwestern game, but what you did see in that Michigan-Northwestern game was that defense not able to close games. You know, it's been a theme for our Michigan State defense, and it's very similar for Northwestern's defense. So, for me, this is going to be a matchup of defense. It's going to be stopping an inexperienced Michigan State offense, or it's going to be, you know, the Michigan State defense stopping, you know, some top-flight wide receivers out of the Big Ten Conference from Northwestern. In the end, Earl, I believe that Michigan State is going to pull it out. I think they're hungry for a bowl. I think they want that one last home game for their seniors. I think they're going to get it done. What about you?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you this time. I mean, I've sort of liked Northwestern over the years, and let's face it, they're having a good year. They're 7-3, 3-4 in the Big, 4-3 in the Big, 3-3 in the Big Ten right now. So you know, they're having a very good year, and so they're going to be going to a very good bowl game. So we have to look at that, but Northwestern is a good team. That's the thing. You can't overlook them. They're a good team, a solid team, and so you better not overlook Northwestern, because year in and year out these last few years, and as you know, back in the 90s, they went to two Rose Bowl games, and so now they're getting back to having those kind of teams that are being strong again, and so we just have to see, you know, because what happening now is they're not able to finish those strong games, so they lose near the end, lose in the fourth quarter, pretty tough. Just like Michigan State's been losing a lot of games in the fourth quarter in the last possession, near the end. So it's tough for some teams. So Michigan State and Northwestern, they're two of those teams that can almost win because they're so close, and they're getting closer and closer to winning some of the big games that they need to win on their schedule. So hopefully, as we talked about yesterday, Alex, I mean, you know, Aaron and I talked about yesterday, you know, hopefully the fans will come out. Now, do you think that we're going to see more fans come out? Do you see? Because Aaron and I were talking yesterday about how Michigan State fans, especially the students, aren't as supportive as they should be.
Right, and I think that it comes with, you know, the team. I think the Michigan State students, they expect now in, you know, 2010 era, year by year, with the way Mark D'Antonio has made major strides with this program, I think they expect a winning team. And I think that since Michigan State is not winning this year, I think not the fact that they don't trust in and support their team, I just don't think that they're excited to go to a game with a team that's looking into a BCS championship, if that makes sense. And I think that with this last home game with Northwestern, I personally don't think that many students will still come. Not to say that they won't support their team, I just think many of them would be more comfortable watching their team from home rather than getting up, going to the game for a team that they don't, you know, that fell short of many expectations this year.
Yeah, that's sad. I would hope that they would come out now. Maybe some people would blame me because I thought that they would be a lot better this year. I mean, I thought at the beginning of the year that this team could win 9-10 games. Even though privately I thought, they'll probably go 8-4 or something like that, and they're not even going to go 8-4. But I just thought they'd be maybe a little bit better. I thought they'd be closer to the that 11-win season than what they've shown. So with 5-5 right now, so they're a long way from getting 11 wins again. But since it only happened twice, I mean, it's the first time ever in history that they had back-to-back 11-win seasons. So hopefully with the regular fans and with the student fans, hopefully the expectations weren't for another 11-win season. I mean, that's the thing. I knew that this team wouldn't win 11 games again, but I thought they could have a pretty good season, with considering they've had what they've done in the last couple of years. But they didn't do it. They didn't get it done. So maybe that's our fault because maybe we got their hopes up too high, in the regular season. So if you want to blame me, you can blame me.
Hey, girl, I know you're the one always looking, to take the blame for the team. You're a real team player, Earl, for that Michigan State team this year.
Yeah, I'll take a hit for them. I'll take a hit for them. I know, I thought they were going to do a lot better, so what the heck. That's the breaks.
Hey, might as well get back in the ring and take another hit, Earl.
Yeah.
Go back to boxing. Let's go.
Yeah, well, we're seeing Seth Mitchell. Well, it's Saturday night. That should be good. It'll be on HBO. I think it's 10 o'clock. And big fight. He's going to be fighting Detroit's own Jonathan Banks. He was a protege from one of Emmanuel Stewart's proteges. So it should be a good fight on Saturday night.
Now, who do you like in that fight, Earl? Are you liking the Emmanuel Stewart protege, or are you going more with Seth Mitchell?
I'm going more with Seth Mitchell. I've seen Jonathan Banks. As a matter of fact, I've been a judge at a few of his fights, a couple of his fights. Those were in the early days, and he's definitely developing and getting better. But I like Seth Mitchell because what he's done in his development. I mean, he's a guy who uses a good jab, and he goes to the body real well. And I think that's going to serve him well against Jonathan Banks because he's going to go to the body, and he's going to use his jab. So I like Jonathan Seth Mitchell, that's for sure, because he's a better body puncher for sure. And he's got a very good jab. So I look for him to use those things and get a win. But it could go the distance. I mean, yes, that's the thing with heavyweights. It could end in a round or two. But this might go the distance. I think it's a good chance it'll go the distance. I'll be surprised if either one knocks each other out early in the fight.
Oh, absolutely, Earl. Now, let's talk a little bit about, back to that Michigan State team. You mentioned, they did fall a little bit short of expectations. I hope not that is the reason why students don't show up. But let's look at it, from the beginning of this season, because at the start of the season, yes, this defense had plenty of expectations. Who thought that, to close many games, this team would be falling apart? Not many people. But at the same time, this offense was so unproven to start the year. Yeah. Receivers who had close to none game experience, alongside with a quarterback who barely took any snaps to begin with. So
that was a problem.
At the same time, yes, it's been a progression throughout the year. Yes, they are making some strides, and they probably should have had a couple of wins back from the games that they did lose, whether it be a Michigan or, losing in the last couple minutes to Iowa. I think that, game by game, like D'Antonio says, we just isn't closing out. Each game is a test. But, at the same time, I think next year will be completely different. You and I dissected that schedule a couple of days ago, and we saw that, compared to this year, we expect many more wins, if not all wins, next year.
Yeah, because the schedule's great, a lot easier. It plays very good in their hands, and so they should do very, very well next year. I'll be surprised if they don't do that well, and they should do very well next year. Now, this year, a lot of us thought they would do better than what they were, and, We won't have to say that next year. Next year we'll say, hey, we think right from the jump street that Michigan State's going to be a solid team, a very good team that should go to a big-time bowl game next year. So it's going to be very tough next year. Now, of course, we haven't mentioned Ohio State. We've got to mention Ohio State should be the team again next year. If they finish undefeated this year, they're going to be straight. And oh, yes, we've got the tickets to give away. So Alex, tell us who the ticket winners are.
All right, the winner for basketball, Christy Weber out of East Lansing. Congratulations. In football, we do have Dan Stubb out of Lansing. Congratulations, guys.
Okay, we need one more winner for basketball.
That's right, and the final basketball ticket winner is Camilla Holmes out of Lansing.
Okay, thank you, and we'll give you a call and find out where you can go to pick those tickets up. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. They come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We look forward to talking with you tomorrow. So come back and join us right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.